March 09, Libby Purvis. Anyone who's ever taken guests, not crew, guests, to sea under sail knows that terrible expression on their faces when the boat begins to tip over. What? They cry, what's happening? By which they mean, it's capsizing, we're all going to drown. The hearty skipper reassures them that healing is good. Just brace your feet here, see, ready, about, Leo, whoops, oh no, you're upside down, yes, you should have crossed over, you see, no problem. What do you mean all the blood rushed to your head and you banged your elbow on the winch? It's quite simple. There's this brief moment when the boat goes level and that's when you cross over. Well, people don't naturally take to the healing habits of monohulls. Not straight away. After a while, those who carry on sailing just get used to it. Most of us have lived resignedly at an angle of 45 degrees for days on end, sleeping with bum jammed against a board, swinging around the cabin like a chimp from one handhold to the next, learning to drink a relaxed cup of tea while bracing every leg muscle. We are used to the way that a boat's capacity is halved when it's on the wind, so that a crew of four suddenly seems like eight people with size 12 feet. We all know about fiddles, gimbals, galley belts, non-slip jelly mats, bars on bookshelves, and how to tie ourselves into a windward bunk with rolling hitches on the lee cloth. It never occurs to us that life could be different. It did, however, occur to Monsieur Guy Brocaire of Cherbourg. As reported elsewhere, he has designed a monohull which does not heel, the Fan 32. Instead of being rigidly fixed, the mast, shrouds and counterbalancing keels are connected to an enormous steel ring mounted on roller bearings midships, so that when a normal boat would heel to a breeze, the fan's entire rig abruptly leans over to port or starboard instead, which leaves hull, cabin, cockpit and crew cutting through the water as usual, but still complacently upright. Or possibly shouting, oh my god, the mast is falling overboard, if they've forgotten which boat they're on. Well, I dare say you get used to this. It could be a touch unnerving in a fluky wind, I would think, and just don't encourage the children to sit midships when the mast is likely to come swaying back in a hurry. And dissuade your buff young crewmen from posing heroically on the cabin top with their tops off, leaning on the mast. They'll fall over, serve them right. Contemplate also just how comfortable it is likely to be to crash through big seas with the mast wobbling like a rogue spillikin and without the steadying effect of having the whole boat held, slanted and lifted by the same wind that kicked the waves up. But it may be perfectly comfy, and as a technically feeble, naturally suspicious person in mast reefing or so all about, I leave the practical evaluation of Monsieur Brocaire's swaying rig to YM experts and to those of you who still have enough money even to contemplate a new boat. No, my concern is with the psychology and ethics of this very French idea. I mean, can it be right, can it be British to embrace the warm fudge of luxury rather than the teeth-snapping toffee of discomfort? Is not the hardship of healing, balancing and clinging something that forms our oaken characters as well as linking us back to our Darwinian ancestors, the apes in the forest canopy? Is not life at an angle part of the buzz, that glorious difference, the secret sailorly world we live in? The Cape Horner Adrian Seligman wrote of the sailing ship as a patient, steadfast and courageous creature who teaches her sailors lessons about life as they watch her day by day, running bravely, lying becalmed for weeks, or yielding with grace to the slope of the wind. What sort of lesson in loyalty are you going to get by letting your poor mast abruptly wobble to leeward while you remain smugly upright sipping martinis? All sounds a bit Tony Blair to me, frankly. Still, I asked around. Some were in favour, notably those waiting for hip replacements. Some buoy racers worried that they would never know when to reef, since they generally rely on a large ingress of water over the cockpit combing to alert them. And one said morosely that it was the beginning of the end. Think, he said, of all those poor blokes who can go sailing without their wives because the wives hate the tippy stuff. If those women ever find out about the Fan 32... I reassured him, those women are not stupid. They forced their poor husbands into catamarans years ago.